Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Saturday episode of the show. The number for you to join us here. You want to bring up whatever's on mind, talk to the national radio listening audience that we have. The number is 603-283-6160. Here tonight is Ian,
Cliff Mountaineer,
and Mark join in us. Studio.
Here he is. You can join us online for the next few days, I think. You'll be here with us, Mark.
Yeah, visiting.
So you can join us at 603-283-6160. You can also follow us online, various different forums over starting over at freetalklive.com. We've been, over the past several, weeks and months, talking about the economic situation here in the United States, what with the potential, maybe the beginnings of de-dollarization going on in various different parts of the world. That's something we've been covering.
We don't know whether that's going to be the case, but even it does seem very clear that we're could quite possibly be rolling into a recession. I don't want to speak this into reality, but there's problems.
Well, I mean, that was something that happened, I think, last year by the old definition of recession, right? Wasn't the they changed the definition?
Yeah, which is still the standard definition in England of what a recession is,
which is
two periods of a slowdown. Yeah, sorry, two quarters of a
negative economic growth.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So. Which
is growth.
Such a weird phrase, negative growth. Anyway.
And the Biden administration said, well, that's not what it means anymore. And then they refused to redefine it.
Old men don't want to say shrinkage. That's
right.
The problem.
We will tell you when we have decided that we're in a recession.
That's what it is now.
And there is something to be said for the idea of like, well, if it's a small enough recession and we pretend it's not there, maybe it'll just go away.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually is part of how it works. Like if
it is part of how it works, yes.
Like this is what happens when you centralize your monetary system. If the people in power start freaking you out, then you go, oh, you're going to do crazy stuff. And so you start behaving differently.
Right. If you think that there's going to be a recession, you may very well pull your money out of stock and put it into bonds or into gold or into cryptocurrency now. Any one of these things would be a reasonable thing to do at that time. You may say, you know what, I'm going to cash.
Well, that's what the banks thought when they put a bunch of money in treasury bonds back last year, right? And it didn't work out real good for them.
Right. The treasury bonds weren't given the yields that they were looking for, and that didn't work out, right?
Well, what happened, as I understand it, was they did what they thought was a conservative move, and they invested in treasury bonds. It's kind of a thing that banks do, right? Oh, it's guaranteed money, you know?
Mm-hmm. Risk-free.
And then the Federal Reserve increased the interest rates at 1,700%, which, over the year, less than a year, basically. It was like a record level of increasing the interest rates. And what happened was that made the bonds that they're offering today much more attractive.
Valuable, yeah.
And one of the things that they especially did at Silicon Valley Bank is they to get a better rate, they took on not like a nice little 2 year or like a short term.
Did they do tens?
No, they did long term.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were doing extremely long periods of time because they bet on the fact that they were certain that the good times will never end.
Hey, rates have been at zero for 10 years. Why wouldn't they go stay at zero for another 10 years?
Stay at zero forever. And, well, because that's not how things work. Like, nothing stays the same
in
a system that is built to constantly change at the whim of, at this point, Jerome Powell.
Right, not after massive money printing that happened under Trump and Biden due to COVID, quote-unquote.
Right, and that's one of the so everyone in that sector is saying, no, it was totally different because they did a lot more of this. All the other banks did some of this, but
Silicon Valley, when we say they, you mean Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley Bank did a lot more of the long term. They didn't accept the idea that, okay, a bunch of money printing is going to lead to a change in monetary policy. Whereas the other banks, they did some long term, but they didn't do as much because they realized that, okay, you just flooded the economy with half, a third, something like that, of the amount of money that exists.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, it's a stunning thing to say, but I've heard numbers right in between what you're saying. 40% is the number that I would sort of stake myself on is that they've created 40%. Since January 2020, they created 40% of the U.S. dollars that existed.
Yeah.
That's an incredible amount of inflation.
Yeah.
And I don't mean inflation like the cost of butter's going up, because that's the lie.
Mm-hmm.
Inflation is monetary inflation, because if you print more money, the more money chases the same amount of goods.
Correct.
And therefore, the price goes up, because the money's not worth as much.
Yep, that's the basics that they don't teach you in government school.
Now, a lot of the price inflation didn't happen the way that it would have ordinarily, because they also did this thing called the reverse repo rate increased. So basically, the banks put a bunch of dollars in a bank's savings account. So instead of that running around the economy where it increases prices, it just stuck in the Federal Reserve waiting for the banks to do something else with it.
And that's what happened in 2008 during that economic downturn, is they created a bunch of money with quantitative easing, but it never really entered the market. So it was just, it was just to stabilize the banks. Here's more money. Here's more money to make you feel better. And then, they felt better. And that was that.
Right. So Silicon Valley Bank, for whatever reason, and this is the part of the story that maybe you've heard that I haven't, Peekless, but at what point did the word start to get out that people were pulling their money out of Silicon Valley Bank? Because that was what happened, right? Like, there was apparently a $45 billion bank run in the period of 24 hours. This is like the day before the day they got shut down, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it was a Thursday in that case. $45 billion was ordered out of that bank, and they couldn't cut it because they didn't have that kind of money on hand. That's, I think, around the time maybe when they had to try to sell their 10-year-long bonds at a fraction of what they paid for them to get enough money in to cover what the depositors were demanding. But was it just that the Silicon Valley guys were just trading messages online like, hey, I'm going down to the bank to pull everything out. You should, too. Like, how did that happen?
So that definitely was going on, but, I mean, you kind of run into a chicken or the egg problem with that. So a lot
of... Right, you don't want to tell everybody what you're doing.
Right, so like a huge number of disparate companies, and how many of these are real companies? How many of them are, for example, Chinese front companies? Who knows? But a bunch of companies were pulling their money out, and at the same time, there was what they call a whisper campaign, and like Peter Thiel took a lot of the blame / credit for saying, hey guys, this is going to crash, you better get all your money out. So it's, which came
first.
So
he said something publicly.
He's definitely gotten a lot of flack for having, he did say something publicly, he's gotten a lot of flack for it. How much of this actually had anything to do with him, or is he just a nice, convenient target? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, and some people are blaming this on Twitter. They're like, well, this happened so fast because of Twitter. And there is some truth to the idea that a bank run can happen faster than ever in human history now that everything's electronic, now that communications are electronic.
That's only an argument against the current form of currency,
right,
which is to say fiat currency, currency created by government dictate.
Right.
That's only an argument against that. That's just saying that this kind of currency that evolved for decades ago isn't going to work in a new digital age.
Right.
Well, certainly not when banks don't have the assets that they claim to have. They can't provide customers with what they believe is available.
That's not exactly so. Let me just make a slight stipulation. So, for instance, I don't believe banking's going anywhere necessarily in a new digital currency world. People still need to be safe. They still need their money safe and sound.
Well, don't put it in a bank.
I'm not giving anyone the advice to go to any particular bank or any bank at all and put their Bitcoin in it or whatever digital currency they have. But what I'm saying is banking is something that we need and want. Now,
the theory of it
is lucrative, and world dominating as it is today? No, absolutely not. But, you know, for instance, let's say that you have some digital currency you know you're not going to use in the next 1 year. You give it to a bank at 3% interest in a certificate of deposit. The bank says, all right, Mr. Freeman, we're taking this money. We're giving you this high rate of interest, whatever that rate might be. I think you can get 5% now. And when I was in high school, my checking account was 5.5%. Right. Anyway, of course, you know, everything.
That's an honest proposal, right? Like if you give money to a bank and they say, we're going to lock this down for X amount of years.
You cannot have it.
You can't have it because we're loaning it out. That's what we're doing with it. That's an honest banking thing to do, but that's, of course, not what they're doing.
Right. And this is what the problem I have with banking generally is they say, yeah, sure, everybody just give us money, we'll put it on deposit, and you can get it back when you need it, but while we're using it, we're going to give it out on loans. Literally, that's what people think they do. Mind you, that's not what they do anymore since Donald Trump took away the deposit requirement for fractional reserve banking or whatever. It just doesn't exist anymore.
And it's open season now. They can issue as many loans as they want.
They can give as much as they want in loans. But people believed, like the whole lie was, you give us money, we loan it out, and you can get your money whenever you want. Obviously, you can't loan my money and I can get it whenever I want.
No, you can't.
That is a hustle.
And that's what needs to end, right? That's what needs to change with banking if banks are going to, you know, on into the future.
One last thing. The ability to write checks on a bank draft and these sorts of things, this is a service. There's a reason, like, they need you should be paying for that. It's a valuable service for you to be able to go in and get your money whenever you want. We were able to write checks on your money and that kind of thing. And everybody wanted that, wanted that as a free service. And that, ladies and gentlemen, when you don't get charged for something, you're the product. And that's
good point.
Always been the way.
So I agree with you that banking isn't going anywhere, but I would very strongly argue that this isn't real banking. Now, what this is a permission system that is completely run by the government. So in order to be a bank, in order to operate a bank, not only do you have to have their approval for existing as a bank, you have to have their complete approval on everything that you do. Here are the guardrails. Here is what you can do. Here's what you can't do. Here's when you have to ask our permission again. Here's when you don't have to ask our permission again. Like, the entire thing is a government program.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yep.
If you had actual banking, then there'd be, you know, competition. Now,
yeah, you'd see services that were wildly different, I would think, instead of like what I think it was the other night we were just talking about this. Banks are basically interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
The names are different, but the accounts are pretty much identical. The interest rates are pretty much identical. The features on the accounts are nearly identical. I mean, they're not, I don't know how much that has to do with regulation, but I bet there's something there.
Yeah. And
well, it's basically every bank is a franchise of the Federal Reserve System.
Right.
Yeah.
And
except for Custodia Bank in Wyoming. And the Federal Reserve doesn't want them.
Custodia and Narrows would be real competition, which cannot be allowed in this system.
And I think that that's what it's coming down to, is the big banks are like, these little banks are taking too much of the pie. We want more of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a conspiracy theory, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have anything to back it up.
Everyone.
Other than the evidence, right? Like, the evidence is that people are taking their money out of little banks, putting them in big banks.
Yes.
That people in big banks, their dollars are safe. Now, safe, I'm using an air quotes here, because their dollars are being devalued at an incredible rate, but then again, so is everybody's.
But the bank is too big to fail, quote unquote, so they feel like they're safer if they're in Chase.
Right, and I believe that this is something to cut out, smash small banks, the kind of banks that make small communities grow, the kind of communities right now that are destroyed by the heroin, opium, you know, wars and all that stuff. They're just destroyed, and they're not coming back. And this is just more concentration into the cities. And remember, I have a long time argument about the city mice versus the country mice. I think this is part of all of that, is the city mice hate the country mice because they think they're backwards and stupid and all these other things. And the country mice hate the city mice because they're effeminate and, you know, they think they're better than everybody and they're probably trans and gay and all that other stuff. And right. So this is the war that we're pit against. You know, the political parties run vaguely along these lines and everything is just city mice versus country mice.
So in alignment with what you're saying there about reducing the local banks and even the regional banks. So,
and credit unions,
yeah,
which
yeah,
really are a great deal.
So I think this is part of the structure of the BTFP, which is Back the Fiat Ponzi, I think is what it really stands for.
Okay.
It's like the Bank Transfer Fund Program, something like that. But really, it's another kind of bailout. But the way that this thing is structured, like if you need to, you can go to them and they will give you a loan for all of your all of these assets at the price you bought them for, or at par is the proper term. So what a lot of banks are going to be incentivized to do is to go to the FDIC / Federal Reserve, get these things, and then a year from now, it is up to the Fed whether or not they feel like renewing this. They're not going to, like, everyone think, oh, there's going to be a pivot, we're going to be back to zero rates. It's not coming. There is no return to zero because they can't. They have to compete with Bitcoin. They've never had real currencies to compete with. They have to have some amount of responsibility, which they've never had to have before because they've been competing against other forms of fiat. Now there exists an exit. So since you can get out of fiat currency completely, they have to start acting somewhat responsibly. So they're not going to return to this zero interest rate thing. That is no longer a possibility because too much money would flow into their competitors if they did. So these rates aren't going back down. So all of these, they have to wait until these come to term.
Just to clarify,
or they're going to lose money on
them. Before you go further on that, are you saying that they have to raise the rates, meaning that, like, bonds are going to keep paying better rates instead of going lower because they need to compete with things like decentralized finance also have really good rates?
I thought we got rid of decentralized finance because calling it terrorism and
stuff. Oh, no, they're just now tipping their hand on that. That was the news that came out this week, that the Treasury considers decentralized finance to be a threat to national security.
Giving
so that's
people
them saying
loans.
What's coming.
That's how North Korea gets nukes!
Right? Yeah. What?
That's scary, because that's them saying we're going to come after decentralized autonomous organizations.
Right, that was
going to
be my rebuttal
charges.
To Peekless here, is that, well, at this point, the government's using every trick in the book to go after cryptocurrency.
They're going every which way they can. Every CFTC, SEC, FBI, they're all coming in as hard as they possibly can.
Right. They're trying to destroy cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. They're late to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But man, oh man, they are the undefeated champions.
I actually think that they're pivoting from the attempt to destroy cryptocurrency at this point. Don't get me wrong. They're not abandoning it. I just think that they are moving from, like, that is shifting to the back burner. Because they tried. They tried really, really, really hard. I mean, they pulled the rug out on FTX at just the right time. Like, they did all of these shenanigans. And, okay, it
Bitcoin
stopped.
Price is up.
Yeah. Bitcoin price stopped at 17,000, couldn't go any lower, no matter what they did. But the SEC says you can't do this or this. The commodities futures trader, you can't. Price isn't going anywhere. You can't destroy this thing. So I think they've realized that. They're still going to try. I mean, if they can.
They're going to try to close the exits.
Right.
That's what they appear to
right.
do. They know they can't kill Bitcoin.
Right. So right. NASDAQ
and closing the exit means that they know who has every Bitcoin. And
they want to reduce the number of on and off ramps. So they're already in the last few weeks, we've seen updates from Bitcoin exchanges in the United States that are saying, we're done. We're walking away from the U.S. market. Bittrex, which was based in the U.S. originally, they're saying we're closed. We're done.
I was saying
this
years ago.
Coins. Local Bitcoins is completely closing.
Mm-hmm.
That was a Finland-based organization.
Yep.
Paxful just this week announced, that's Local Bitcoin's competitor, their number one competitor, Paxful, said, we're closing for till further notice. We may or may not come back to anyone anywhere in the world. CEX.io, which is another U.S.-based exchange.
It makes you wonder why.
Tell their U.S. customers, we're no longer going to be doing bank transfers at all.
Yep.
Kraken, which had an account at, I think it was Signature Bank, which was the other bank that went was taken down by the feds. Kraken said, well, you can't do ACH transfers with us anymore. You can still wire, but you can't do ACH because they had a different banking partner for wiring. And, you know, they'll probably try to bring it back, but it's...
What's an ACH?
ACH is Federal Reserve. It's slower than a wire transfer.
Gotcha.
It's like 2 to 3 days, typically, business days to move money. So that's gone from Kraken. So these are just within the last few weeks. And then you have the SEC suing Coinbase. They're going after the biggest target now. You got the CFTC, the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, going after Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange. So the fact that they're going after the biggest of the crypto exchanges now is spooking the little guys to saying, all right, that's it. We're just going to close U.S. operations. See ya.
Yeah.
And so the number of them is very, very small.
The Binance thing is actually an even bigger story because that is part of the trend of the United States enforcing their law on everyone on Earth. Because this isn't Binance U.S. that they're going after.
No.
They're not going after a U.S. corporation. They're saying, you didn't stop every single one of our citizens from getting into your thing. And since you didn't stop every single one of them from getting into your thing, even from somewhere else on Earth,
using a VPN. Disguising their location or any variety of things,
pay up.
Well, you are subject to our rule.
Yeah.
You will do what we say.
Yeah.
And you're right about it being a matter of making sure that they know where every single Bitcoin is and who owns every single wallet.
Right.
But it's worse than that. So, like with NASDAQ, they are going to custody Bitcoin for their customers. Now, this is a big enough, like, this is such a huge part of Wall Street that they can't really effectively be fought by the U.S. government. So this is going to happen. So that's the direction that is going to move. So you will have Bitcoin, just not in your own wallet. We'll hold on to that for you. We're bankers. We're licensed. We're allowed to do this. This is the real money. You can't have real money.
And expect from them the same thing that they do with gold, which is to say that, as my understanding, there's about 10 times as much gold sold in this world
than exists.
Absolutely right.
People literally own gold that, you know, 9 out of 10 people that own gold that does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
And it, just like with the gold, the coins you don't hold aren't yours.
Yeah, just like with the bank saying we will loan out. I mean, originally it was 10 times as much money. Now it's who knows how many times. Yeah, it's that same that we're going to spend more than exists. And since you can't look at it, you can't verify it for yourself.
Right, there's no audit.
Exactly. And that's the direction that they're moving.
By the way, speaking of the bank consolidations, in 1921 there were 30,456 banks in the United States. And as of September of last year, 4,157 of them. So big-time consolidation. It's probably just going to get worse. More coming up here.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA USA News Update. Nashville City Council members plan to vote as early as Monday to reinstate State Representative Justin Jones. He was one of two Democrats expelled from the Tennessee House for protesting gun violence on the floor after the Nashville school shooting. President Biden has invited all three Tennessee lawmakers who were targeted for expulsion to the White House. China is conducting military drills around Taiwan as a U.S. delegation wraps up its visit to the island nation. The Chinese military announced its three-day drills are a serious warning against Taiwan separatist forces and, quote, a necessary move to defend national sovereignty and territorial integrity. Lucasfilm is bringing Star Wars back to movie theaters for the first time since 2019. Daisy Ridley will return to the franchise for a movie featuring her character Rey that will take place 15 years after the events of The Rise of Skywalker. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. Bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian Pinkless Mountain here and Mark in the studio tonight. Mark, what's coming up later this year?
Well, if you're one of those people that thinks that you have the right to govern yourself, you don't want to miss the Liberty in Our Lifetimes conference taking place in Prague from November the 14th and 15th. The conference is the best place to learn about free cities, self-governing territories that uphold individual rights and freedoms. Representatives from projects in the United States, Honduras, Germany, and Norway will... they didn't mention the folks that are in... Oh, Germany. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I was thinking about a particular group of people that I met there, and they're awesome. I can't remember the name of the project. It's in German, so...
Got it.
It was difficult to communicate to them, but they're doing some great stuff. And they're also the ones in Switzerland. Yeah, right, something like that. Anyway, they'll join to share updates on progress and explain why you should consider moving or doing business in a free city. Our own me, Mark, spoke at last year's conference, and I called it the gathering of people most likely to create more human freedom. Visit libertyinourlifetime.org to find out more. You can use the code FTL for a 10% discount on tickets. You won't want to miss this year's event. I'm speaking again this year, plus all those other great speakers. So you can join me in Prague October the 14th and 15th for this important event, libertyinourlifetime.org.
Fantastic. All right. You can join us here on the phones at 603-283-6160. You know, in the last segment, we were talking about the banking situation, the dollar crisis, whatever you want to call it. And, Peakless, you had made the claim that you don't think that rates are going to go back down again, that the interest rate...
Will
the
they go down at all? Maybe.
Okay.
Will they go down to zero? Absolutely not. Not going to happen. And they honestly might not go down at all.
Mark had a related story tonight. I don't know if you have it handy, Mark. You had said that there was something you wanted to talk about where... It is essentially, in whoever is analyzing this, opinion that the Federal Reserve is going to continue raising rates.
Right. I do have that story.
That's a big question, is are they going to drop them this next meeting, or are they going to raise them next?
This next meeting is you are standing on a razor's edge, falling either to the left or to the right, or dashing yourself to ribbons by doing neither. Because if it goes up, people will flip out. If it goes down, they'll go, the pivot's in! The pivot's in! And every price is going to momentarily crash completely before coming back up. And if it goes sideways, there's still going to be a portion of people that go, you were supposed to pivot! Oh, no!
Yeah, I don't see how they can not at least hold steady, if not raise rate.
Well, so that's the thing. It's not up to us. And it's not true. Even up to the market.
It's up to people who mostly don't have to deal with the consequences. Yeah,
this is political money. This is all political money. So the market might require one thing or another of you, but it doesn't matter. I mean, even like look at what just happened. They're okay with sacrificing one of their biggest banks. And they're like, yep, that's the cost. We're cool with it.
It was political money. At this point, it's become real money. There's no getting around the fact that they have mortgaged the future with when they weaponized the common cold.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did it. And I can't imagine for a second that somebody knew that it was going to be the largest transfer of wealth from the bottom 99% to the top 1% in human history during COVID. I can't imagine they knew that.
Oh, I knew that.
Well, happened.
As soon as the lockdowns came, I knew for sure that's what this was going to be, because you have to give people money. You're not letting them earn money, so you're going to have to just straight up give it to them. Okay, well, there's a real simple set of consequences then. Okay, well, since all of the money is political, it all gets determined, that all of the spending gets determined by these monstrous politicians, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to destroy their enemies and reward their friends.
That's what they're going to do, right?
That's what they always do.
Right.
And this is the biggest excuse that we have ever had for a single lump sum change in the monetary system. So, of course, they're going to reward their friends in ways that would make everyone previous blush.
Yield and rate hikes odds spike as job data forces Fed to remain hawkish. Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't understand that...
I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't get it at first either. This is from ZeroHedge.com. After a week of bloodbathery in labor market data, the big one...
Bloodbathery?
By the way, ZeroHedge has been, you know, the most predicting of the downfall immediacy kind of blog forever. So, like, they're always seeing the end tomorrow, basically.
They're definitely bears on monetary bears, right? But
I thought the jobs data was really positive, or at least, you know, surface positive. Like,
they call it a nothing burger.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty much what you expected. A lot of people are like, well, if you look into it, it is actually bad news because the participation rate fell. Which, you know, given how much
participation rate is the most important thing.
What is that?
It's the amount of people who are working.
Right. So,
you know what you don't want to know? This is the lie. The lie that they've gotten very good at is the unemployment rate.
Right.
How many people are
looking
for
work.
For a work and not working?
Mm-hmm.
A better question is the participation rate, which is how many people are in fact working. The participation rate has been going steadily down, and COVID kicked it right in its fanny, and now it hasn't really recovered.
What's the number?
It's last I looked, it was 57%. But
is that 57% of able-bodied workers? Is that what?
Right, 57% of adults over the age of 18 and under the age of whatever retirement is, are working.
Well, that's going to change now, because last night we talked about how there's an article in the Wall Street Journal where they talk to business owners who are more likely now to hire retirees because young people aren't showing up to work on time.
Right.
They want to sit on their phone all day. They have no work ethic whatsoever, and The example the article opened with was a guy that's run like a shipping center, like maybe kind of like a Pac-Mail or, you know, UPS store or something. He says he's hiring a 70-year-old instead of a college kid,
mm-hmm.
even though he's, you know, somebody who has to lift boxes and stuff like that. He's
because
said the best qualified candidate was the 70-year-old.
Yeah.
I was wrong on the participation rate. I said that I thought I saw it at 57%. That is not accurate. I saw it at 60%. That's what it dipped to during
COVID.
It is actually on the rise right now.
Okay.
It had been steadily going down. This is only from like 2003 to 2023, but mm-hmm. it's been going down. It's still much lower than it was in.
But it's on the rise since
2003.
COVID, you're saying?
Yes.
To what now?
It's at just above 62%.
Okay.
Which is still lower than it was before COVID.
Yeah, what was it pre-COVID?
Pre-COVID was 63.5%.
That's not a huge
difference. Well, it's not huge, but, I mean, can you be King Ian for a moment and ask yourself, can your economy take a drop of 1.5%? Of its labor force just not working.
I don't believe it. I mean, like, you can see the hiring signs everywhere. There are way more jobs available now than there were before COVID.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I don't buy these numbers. I don't know how they're manipulating.
This part makes total sense with that exact piece of information. People do not want to work. So that's
right. Shouldn't the difference be more drastic than a percent or two?
Well, there's not much of a place to go.
Prior to COVID, there weren't now hiring signs everywhere. After COVID,
there were some.
Not like there are now.
No, but I think that people, that businesses don't understand, and it hasn't really trickled down to them. A, they don't understand. B, it hasn't trickled down to them.
Don't understand what?
That the monetary, the currency has been devalued.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what they want is they want somebody to work at that 10, 12, or $15 an hour job. And they're like, mm-hmm. nobody will work at our $10, $12, or $15 an hour job.
Right.
And the answer, the reason is because your $10 an hour job is now paying $7.50.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And your $12 job is paying $9.
Right.
And, you know, whatever the, you know, I'm not doing the math.
Pre-COVID numbers.
Right. And
if prices double, wages need to double. But mm-hmm. no one who's hiring has gotten the memo that prices doubled.
They always trail behind. But I mean, we're seeing the
prices
go up.
And when you talk about the consumer price index, they don't put things like eggs and bread and houses and gasoline. Just ask yourself, ladies and gentlemen, what do you spend your money on? If it isn't groceries, mortgage, and gas,
right?
Like, what? How much of your money is left for the plastic crap you buy at Walmart? A spatula.
Well, that,
you know, placemats.
That's not core inflation because we don't get to change those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what it is. Right. That's 100% what it is. Is that, you know, housing prices are volatile, fuel prices are volatile, and grocery prices, well, you know, screw them. We've already taken these rest of these. I will take groceries out, too.
Well, there's a headline right now at the-sun.com saying that at one restaurant in, I think it was Connecticut, at a McDonald's, a Big Mac combo meal is going for $16.89.
Jeez.
So the prices are definitely going up, but as we know, the businesses always want to, you know, keep their employees as low as possible, so they don't raise the rates paying their employees until they absolutely have to. And it's only when the other businesses are willing to raise the rates that everybody kind of comes on, because then competition brings those rates up. But we are seeing it's hard to find a job now that's less than $15 an hour. And no one had to pass a law to do that. It was inflation.
That's the thing is that, you know, 2 points. A, the market will always solve the problem. B, if you're going to get to this, it's just Mickey Mouse, you know, economics here, because the government's going to print money for their friends and business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to get $15 worth of value out of it. You're just going to get $15.
Right. You're behind the ball.
And that $15 is going to be worth $10.
Correct. You're behind the ball probably more now at $15 than you were at 10 or 11 or whatever.
Right.
And this is why I love Bitcoin. So because it is, in fact, the opposite. It's not increasing the number of Bitcoin available. There's 21 million. We haven't uncovered all of them, but that's how many there are. But instead of increasing that number, people are actually losing them from time to time.
Sure.
Send them to the wrong address. They are gone forever. Die without leaving a little plan for your wallet. Gone forever.
Yep.
So what that does is it shifts the entire thing to the other side, where instead of the manager being stingy and going, I don't want to pay enough to get the number of workers, they have to instead ask them, I would like you to take this much less money and continue to do the same job. So instead of them being in the position of where they have to slowly but surely get around to increasing your wage when they feel like it, or when you threaten to quit, which most people, they like the stability of having their job more than they like getting paid more. It's unfortunate,
but it's
true.
That's a stupid move right now, because right now you can basically get whatever job you want to.
Right.
And you can shop around. And as long as you've got a good history, like you show up on time or whatever, they're going to want you.
Yeah, but no one wants to put the labor into finding the right job, into negotiating with their boss to get a raise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people don't know how to do it, for one. Like, did you ever have a class in school that explained how you negotiate your wage with your boss? Of course not.
No.
That's a useful life skill. Did any of our parents tell us, here's how you negotiate a wage increase? No, they probably didn't know how to do it themselves.
Yeah.
So you're going into the unknown and you're putting your job in jeopardy. These are things people don't like doing. Whereas with a decreasing money supply, it puts it on the other foot, where instead the employer has to go, oh, I can't afford to keep paying all of my workers at what they're paying now. I have to go to them and negotiate how they could take less.
I can't imagine that's a very good system, because, you know, there's a dopamine hit in getting a raise, even if that raise is less in value than what you were getting at the beginning of last year or whatever.
Yep.
It's still a dopamine.
You're being
hit.
Recognized. You've done good. Here's a pat on the head, right?
Yeah. And whereas, I mean, this is why the monetarists, you know,
modern monetary theorists.
No, these are the Milton Friedman, the Chicago Boys.
Okay.
This is the reason they advocated for 2-3% inflation. In part, now, you know, it was really an arbitrarily created number, but nonetheless, you know, just a small percentage increase in the money supply over time at a steady rate, not controlled by anybody, just a steady rate of increase, was because, you know, it's good for the psychology of humans, because we're always wanting to get a little better.
Well, people also get a dopamine hit from an interaction in which they are the person in a position of power.
Oh, sure.
And the ordinary person, with the exception of when they go into a 7-Eleven, they don't have that experience. Like, unless they are being the consumer, and then it's, ha-ha, I get to abuse you like I was abused. With that exception, people don't usually have the experience of being in a position of power in an important interaction. But this would set up the economic system so that every employer had to experience that, which is great, because then they are incentivized to keep their workers very happy, so that none of their workers want to leave this circumstance. So that if you have some terrible employee who's making everyone's life hell, then you get rid of that employee.
Yeah. If you have a terrible customer who treats your employees badly and makes a toxic workplace,
right.
You're like, hey, you know, you've been great as a customer, but we're going to have to let you go.
Right. As it's set up now, you want every customer you can get, and you will put up with the fact that 20% of your customers are demanding 80% of your pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
So in this situation, you would just get rid of a few of those. Be like, okay, I'll cut off this 20% that is causing 80% of my problems, because I want to be in a better position when I have to ask my employees to stay here.
Why is it that the only place only business that you can really get fired from is like a bar? You know, get out! You know, like, they kick you out of bars.
You as a customer, you mean?
Yeah, a customer almost only, like, it just doesn't happen very often that a customer just is asked to leave.
Well,
usually it's a bar.
I think that's because you can maintain your identity that way. So it's sort of an understood thing that if you get to a certain point of drunk, you're not acting like yourself.
Yeah, sure.
So it's not considered to be like a permanent state for you when you get kicked out of a bar. Whereas if you're just, you know, being an ordinary customer, but you're ornery, you're a pain, you're demanding more than any of the other customers by far, well, then that's just you. So if they kick you out at that point, it's socially awkward.
Mm. That's a good point. So, Mark, the story you wanted to share was about why...
I got to tell this story. I'm sorry. I will tell about the yields and rate hikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was taking a cruise in order to hit my last continent and help my young son Jack get a few more flags under his belt.
Antarctica.
Right. So the last continent was Antarctica.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were serious.
I was.
Most people don't include that. They're like close enough.
Right.
I went to all the ones with like actual population.
Right. So I needed to hit that one.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there on a cruise ship with Norwegian, you know, and it was a great cruise. Really wonderful. Enjoyed myself thoroughly.
Do you actually go to the continent? Do you like have a day out where, or an hour out or whatever, where you go visit some science station? And what's there?
There's nothing there.
Right.
Beautiful vistas, penguins, whales. I mean, I saw many dozens of whales.
Ice that's been there for centuries, you know.
Well, the ice grows and retreats, so in all likelihood, the ice that I'm seeing is really very
So are you
new.
Just looking from the boat, or do they actually take
you're
you
You're looking from the boat. Okay. You're in Antarctic waters. Mm-hmm. It is possible to get on those excursions, but
really?
I did not want to do that. Personally, I wanted to do.
Man, if I'm traveling all the way to the Antarctic, I want to stand on the ice.
Well,
and
that's
then
what
very
you're
quickly
doing, right?
Get back on the boat.
And this was the argument that I made to myself: is you're never going to stand on the land, and if you do, you're standing on a lichen that takes 50 years to grow a centimeter, right? So I just wouldn't get on the land. But that's beside the point.
Covered by ice.
Yeah. You know, my recommendation, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the beautiful vistas from a boat.
Mm, okay.
Nonetheless.
If you're going to do that, I can enjoy the beautiful vistas from my computer.
Well, you can do that, too. There's no doubt that it's significantly less to visit the world from in your computer. No doubt. If that's the case, I'll look at New Hampshire from Florida. Yeah. I'll look at pictures of old man in the mountain.
Look at those leaves.
Isn't that great? Going on.
Okay.
The last stop was the Falkland Islands, or Las Malvinas, as the Argentinians call it. This cruise left from Buenos Aires, and that's the capital of Argentina, in case you don't know. And if you don't know, there was a war between Argentina and the Falkland Islands.
Did not know.
Where Great Britain came down and kicked their butts. This was probably just before you were born, but not much.
So Britain, it's a British territory now?
Yes.
Okay.
It has been for some time.
Okay, gosh.
And anyway,
much to the Argentinians' chagrin.
Right. So, you know, there are people whose kids died. Those, you know, uncles died in this war, and they're buried there, and they or whatever. They want to go and see the this place. They just want to visit it. And by the way, Japanese do this all the time. They come to Hawaii. They come to Saipan. They go to a variety of places. Just because they lost doesn't mean they don't have the right to visit the battlefield. That right is the wrong term. Anyway, they were supposed to stop off in Falkland Islands. And this is basically the only way to get to the Falkland Islands from Buenos Aires.
Mm.
And so they're taking the trip. By the way, they, you know, they buy the last berths up, so it's very inexpensive for them. And they get to go to the Falklands. Well, sadly, the stop was canceled because their port is, you know, it's lots of bad weather. It's Antarctica.
Okay.
You know, they're practically
cold
down there,
huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Falklands is, you know, quite cold part of the year, and the seas are very rough, and so their harbor master shuts down the harbor regularly, especially to tenders. So the boat would anchor out and then send little boats in. The ship would send little boats in. And we weren't going to do that day. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So they had a cruise ship riot.
What?
Riot's not the right term, but there was chanting and clapping and marching around at the desk area with the grand ballroom. You know, it's not a ballroom, but it's chandeliers, feels like a ballroom, and, you know, customer service desks there and all that kind of thing. And I just sat and watched and enjoyed my little cup of coffee, my decaf coffee, while watching the chanting and protesting go on the boat. And I'd never seen anything
people?
Like this.
How many people are protesting?
Many dozens. Many, many
And they're
dozens.
Chanting because they want to go to the Falkland Islands.
They want to go to the Falkland Islands. The captain had nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm,
he did not cancel this. This is the harbor master in
They said, you're not coming
the Falklands.
In.
Now, these protesters did get us like $100 in non-refundable boat credit that could be used on, say, the internet or any variety of things that you mm-hmm. could do. You could buy yourself a cup of coffee.
A few drinks or something.
You know, more drinks. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. probably what happened yeah. to most of it. Yeah. Whatever the situation might have been. They got that, but it was just
like
interesting
not
to
the
see.
Solution when people are getting rowdy to me. They seem to be overthrowing us. Let's get them hammered first.
Well, they didn't do that till the next day.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I thought it was. I mean, I'd never participated in or been involved, seen a cruise ship riot before, but there it was. Honestly, kind of felt bad a little bit for Norwegian, the fact that all these things occurred, but it's hard to feel bad for multinational corporations. So yeah. I just watched and enjoyed my coffee.
Wow.
But corporations are people. Mitt Romney told me so.
Right. I'd like to see how they would vote.
So is this like as cold as like Greenland, basically, down there? It's like super cold?
No, I think it's better than that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's not covered in ice, so I'm going to say no, not nearly as cold as Greenland. That's more like South Georgia or some miserable place like that. God.
Man, Georgia was warm when I went through.
Yeah, this maybe even...
You mean Georgia the country?
Oh, no, I mean South Georgia.
Georgia the state.
South Georgia the islands.
Oh.
Look them up.
You'll need Damn, how many Georges are there out there?
Well, there was Too a King many. George for quite some time. George is a very popular king's name. As a matter of fact, we thought that King Charles might be King George.
Mm. Wow. Okay, so is this New Georgia out by Papua New Guinea and Australia?
No. South Georgia. Down by South America.
All right.
I thought all Georgia was south.
Wow. All right, so, Mark, let's get back to the story here about the rates, because you're saying, according to somebody on the internet that you're going to cite here...
Tyler Durden.
Right, Zero Hedge guy.
Yes, it's a fake name.
Named after the movie character.
The movie character in Fight Club.
Right.
Yeah.
The first rule of bank collapse is keep talking about bank collapse.
Right. And by the way, if you don't want the banks to collapse, we should keep our mouths zipped about it.
I'm fine with the banks collapsing, but honestly. Go ahead and hit the bank.
I do not want banks
collapse. To a nicer bunch of monsters.
Yeah, get your money out while you can.
I'd say no, I am not for a bank collapse. However, I will say that I am for telling my listeners the news as I see it and hear it. So that's important to me.
We're going to continue with that here in moments. The number is 603-283-6160. I have found South Georgia and the South Sandwich Islands to be east of...
What'd you say? South Georgia?
South Georgia and the South Sandwich Islands, apparently.
Yeah.
All right, more coming up here. Hour number two is on the way. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.